Good evening, everyone. It's 7 o'clock, it's Wednesday night, and that means it's time for us to continue our investigation of the ABD guidebook.
Yes.
Have we been doing this forever?
Yes, it's always the same room.
It's always the same room. It's the same individuals. We have a huge audience tonight here with us,
yes,
which you can't see, but we can. And we're very pleased to invite everybody into this
show.
There
is a throng.
A throng.
Yes.
I don't know how to take that. I'll just let it go. The Romans. Anyway, never mind about the Romans. And we'll just continue with what we have. So what have we been doing here? We've had a remarkable ride. You know, we started over... almost a year and a half ago now, with the ABD, American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold.
Yes.
And there was so much work that went into that, and we felt such a an impetus to keep going. We were looking for another device to continue that invocational work that we found so delightful for us. And so we decided, several people decided, we haven't done the ABD guidebook yet. And, you know, it's probably been almost 30 years since I even looked at the darn thing. And it's come out in this remarkable cover that, you want to hold this up next to the camera? Can you do that, Ian, please? Do you have a copy yourself?
No.
Not with you, huh? That's the camera that they can see right here. How close is that? Is that too close, Pat? A minute. So this is the ABD guidebook. And it was written at about the same time that EJ was developing the regular ABD. Perfect. Thank you so much. And they both come down to us, and they both have remarkably different tones. And so what we did, since we really don't know what we're doing, but we're doing it together, as Yogi Berra said when they got lost, they were driving around, they were lost, and he said, but we're making pretty good time.
That sounds like a physics joke.
Yeah, that's kind of...
You don't know where you are, but you know how fast you're going.
We're making pretty good time. We definitely know we don't know where we're going. But since we don't know what we're doing, we've invoked something very important that works all the time, and that's called group work. And so what we've done is we gather together in small subgroups, and we say, you launch into the unknown together, but you do it together. And because you can
Dave, sorry to interrupt you. We've lost your broadcast for about a minute now.
You know what, Harry? I mean, George?
Yeah.
I was just getting going, too.
Well, we don't know about that here, but we can go down.
Am I the only one off the air?
I'm here.
Is it look, Pat?
We are on the air as far as I see, but I see three people.
Oh, sorry about that. I read
How about you, Tom? Do you see the screen?
Actually, I'm not even looking at the screen. I'm just close to my phone.
Yeah, okay. All right. Harry, can you see it?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay.
You can see it.
Yeah.
George, you're still off, right?
I'm still off, but and I've refreshed a couple of times. But anyway, sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. No,
no,
thank
no
you
we
for
need
that.
To know that.
We really need to know that because we're not... We're just here in this space.
You know, it's, in the morning it goes like that, too.
Yeah.
I can be on rocking.
But you look like you're on, all right, in
okay,
the back.
Okay, you're certainly broadcasting now.
Okay. So what we've done, when you form a subgroup, and I've been watching this all these weeks that we've been doing that, when you form a subgroup, you're able to penetrate something that you cannot penetrate on your own. And you don't even know you can't penetrate it on your own till you notice what happens with a group of fellow voyagers. So we've done that, and we've completed 5 different cycles of investigation in the first 5 books of the American Book of the Dead guidebook, and each one of those is called the Book of the Dead, called the Book of, and then it refers to a particular one of the 99 names of God. And so since we've just completed 5, we're about to enter into a new door now, and I'd like to turn it over to that particular group, and Tamara's going to lead us into the next part of it as we not only begin the book, but the music that's going to go along with the book.
To begin the invocation of the 6th Book of the Dead, called the Book of El Mumin, I'm going to turn to Tom, who is in Canada, who is also a musician and composer. And he's going to tell you a little bit about the composition. We'll hear that and then move into the reading of the book. So, Tom?
Okay. It's only partly my composition because I owe to John Williams for the Imperial March or the Darth Vader theme, which is kind of a joke. It's meant as a joke. But anyway, and then the other 2 sections are my composition, kind of. So the 3 parts were suggested by Tamara to represent somehow musically 3 presences in Book 6. The first one, with the John Williams theme, is He Who Brings Beauty. And, the second one is She Is Disinterested, and the third presence in Book 6 is the Divine Mother. So I just titled it The Grace of the Divine Mother. So, and it's about 4 minutes long again. And so there's 3 parts.
So let us welcome in He Who Brings Beauty, She Who Is Disinterested, and the Grace of the Divine Mother.
Thank you.
Let us now begin the reading of the sixth book, Silver King.
The sixth book of the dead, called the Book of El Mu'umin. I am the cause of safe passage toward the Lord through the cares and fears of
transgression.
Say, I'm getting some feedback.
Turn your computer off. Consider sound.
I have my audio off. Are you guys having trouble with the feedback?
It's just coming through the phone. We're getting some feedback. There, I think it's done.
Okay, you're clear for me as well, so we'll begin.
No, I still hear it now. Do you hear it? Does anybody on the phone have their speakers on?
My speaker is off.
Okay.
Headset had it plugged into my phone. Maybe that was it.
Oh, okay.
It reminds me a little bit in the Baptist, in the Black Baptist Church, when the choir would proceed down, they would do two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. And it's a recognition of how we actually progress through life. So two steps forward, one step back, and we will begin again.
Let's take those two steps forward with the sixth book of the dead, called the Book of El Mu'umin. 1. I am the cause of safe passage toward the Lord through the terrors and fears of transit. I am He who has made the bridge across non-existence, fear, loss, and the destruction of the self.
2. I am He who takes confession of fears and so guides one to the kingdom of the Lord. And only by this confession is one saved from the destruction and sin of the world of matter.
3. And this is the instruction for the third day of apparitions in the transit world, due to the breaking apart of the five elements of consciousness called the guides.
4. And so it has come to pass that those who have not given up their attachments to the world of matter and who cannot release themselves of pride and arrogance have come to the day in which the primal element of feeling and sensation shall come to them and sit before them.
5. And with that guide and the light of the brilliant wisdom shall come also the light from the human world at the same time.
And this day, the primal form of the element earth shall shine upon you as a beam of brilliant yellow light, and guide will be He who brings beauty. And at the same time, you shall also see She who is disinterested.
7. And they shall be accompanied by a rainbow of light. And the guide who is the form of the primal element of feeling and sensation shall appear to you so dazzlingly yellow that it is pain to gaze upon him. And so it will be that the brilliant radiation of yellow light from his heart shall strike you in your heart also.
And with that brilliant light of salvation shall come also the soft blue light of the human world. And the soft blue light of the human world shall strike you in the heart as did the other.
9. And the brilliant yellow light shall be as the sun of mercy to you. And it shall dissolve away the ego and pride of individuality. But if you are attached to the identity, you will fear the light, and you will wish to flee from it and find refuge.
10. And to him who is afraid, the soft blue light of the human world shall seem as a place of refuge. And the soft blue light of the human world will seem as a protecting place of safety.
Now the brilliant, dazzling yellow light is the light of salvation, and it shall strike you in the heart, and it shall strip all vestige of the ego. And he who knows it to be wisdom, he shall live forever and become awake.
And he who resolves to remain in trust and humility, he shall recognize it in himself.
13. And he that can pray in humility shall in the divine body of light merge inseparably, and in eternal bliss shall he find the kingdom and the doors of the kingdom shall be opened to him.
14. And it is the radiance of God, and you must take refuge in the cleansing light of salvation. And it shall come to pass that the attraction of the cleansing ray of grace shall clean him of his sins and shall clean him of his attachments to the world of matter and energy.
15. And it is the blue light of the human world that is the attraction of the force of sin and attachments to the world of matter. Now it is seen that the blue light of the human world is the accumulated light path of pride and centralized egoism.
16. And he that becomes attracted to it, he shall be compelled to be reborn into the human world, and he shall suffer birth, death, old age, and sickness.
17. And the teaching might become lost in him, and the accumulations in the world may ensnare him and keep him with them. But he who keeps trust with the bright, dazzling yellow light and rejoice in it shall be saved.
18. And in prayer, your spirit shall be guided thus.
19. alas, when wandering in the world through the power of pride and egoism, on the radiant path of light, of the harmony of light and love, may I be led by the guide through the transit world and into safety.
May I be protected by the grace of the Divine Mother, and may I be safe, let me give you that again, and may I be brought safely through the danger and fear of the transit world, and may I be placed in the state of the pure reality of the luminous void.
21. And he that prays sincerely and humbly is not attached to worldly things. Do that to you again. And he that prays sincerely and humbly and is not attached to worldly things, he shall be lifted up, and he shall become one with the heart of the divine light, and he shall be reborn forever in the kingdom. And he shall be endowed with glory forever and ever.
This concludes the reading of the sixth book of the Death. We now have a presentation brought to our scholar by our scholar, Silverdale. I encourage you all to listen carefully. There is quite a bit of depth in what he's going to present, and I'm hoping to take it slow so we can get all that's there for us to hear.
Thank you, Auntie Mater. I will do my best. I wanted to first of all thank Tom Musselspark for that very inspiring and spiritually uplifting original musical composition, which I think really has set a wonderful atmosphere of invocation for all of us to participate in.
Thanks.
As I speak, I encourage you to jot any questions that might occur to you in the chat box for further discussion when we reach that point. Now I've written out what I want to say tonight. But I learned last night that it would be better if, rather than just read this, I simply spoke to all of us voyagers conversationally. And I hope I succeed in that. I was a participant in the Book 3 study group, the third book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Malik. And I was particularly intrigued by the phrase, body of habits, found in verse 26 of Book 3, which I would like to simply read. And the body you have now is called the body of habits. Now, since the body is of spirit and not of material flesh and blood, whatever comes to you now as sounds, lights, or radiation are all unable to cause you harm. I went on to suggest, when I spoke about this, the idea that each of these books within the guidebook represent individual habits which collectively form, which collectively each of us can form into a basic body of habits. So the whole of Gurdjieff's fourth way teaching, as well as EJ's extension of this teaching, is designed to introduce us to the twin ideas of self-observation and self-remembering. These are the fundamental fulcrums upon which we attempt our own transformation from something lower to something higher. Self-observation and self-remembering. So we begin the path for each of ourselves individually by observing, self-observing our actions and reactions of our historical and hysterical personality, while at the same time attempting to awaken our essential self. This is fundamentally what we're trying to do. And then over time, what we discover that with the gradual development of the presence and attention of our essential self, we gradually begin to be able to directly observe and experience. So let me repeat that. Over time, we gradually learn how to directly observe and experience the nature, functions, and possibilities of our essential self. This is what human biological machine describes when it says we try to separate the finer electrical field of our essential self from the more dominant materiality of our planetary body. Okay. So for me, as I read this sixth book of the dead called the Book of El Mu'min, I regard his declaration in verse 1 and verse 2 to actually be the habit that each of us should possess and be able to declare for ourselves in sympathetic resonance with El Mu'min. So again, just to repeat that, and then I'm going to stop and take a breath for any responses. As I read Book 6, bearing in mind that what I'm attempting to do is both self-observe as well as self-remember, when I read El Mu'min's self-described description of himself, I find that echoing as a part of my own essential self, which I wish to make a habit, a center of gravity for myself. And so El Mu'min states, the inclination is to think that we're hearing a third person say this, but what we want to do is be able to hear ourselves say this with full confidence and conviction. I am the cause of safe passage toward the Lord through the terrors and fears of transit. I am he who has made the bridge across non-existence, fear, loss, and the destruction of self. Now each of us should be able to feel like we are stating that from within ourself, even if there's a part of us that believes we're hearing a third party say this. And then verse 2, I am he who takes confession of fears and so guide one to the kingdom of the Lord. And only by this confession is one saved from the destruction and sin of the world of matter. So as our The point is as our essence develops and matures, we find ourselves declaring these words from within ourselves about ourselves. And I'm going to just stop there for a moment. Any comments?
You know, what I hear in the line, and to guide one to the kingdom of the Lord, that resonates with, you know, Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven is within. So, or the I am that I am.
Right. Okay. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a question, George.
Yeah.
Or a comment.
So this is clear light. Loud.
Oh, keep it close to you.
Very clear. Still okay?
Go.
The practice of observing. No, it doesn't work. It just makes sound, sorry.
Do you want to come up here? I think.
No.
Practice of observing. Well, I'm so grateful that we have heard the voice of clear light.
The practice of observing and experiencing at the same time is what I comment on Silverdale. An example of that.
That would be really useful.
Yeah, come up here and do that.
Yeah, please.
Silverdale, I found the statement about experiencing and observing at the same time to be the potent issue in what you said for me. And I was going to give an example of that in the practice of singing in a choir, which is a group experience. There is a necessity to be able to hear your part, sing your part in tune, and listen to the other parts at the same time so that you have the opportunity to hear the whole of the piece outside of yourself. And so what it requires is, one, that you can separate your personal experience of the sound that you're making or the sound that you're hearing through your ear of your own voice and hear the outside sound and tune with that and also contribute with your sound but not personally to the sound that's being created. So in the reference that you're giving here about how El Mu'min is delivering the statement, which is short form, one that I've been using, I am here, this is God's space, and I will love. So that comes from your experience, your observation, and your agreement to participate.
Patricia has shared with us, look into your own life for other examples of that, and also maybe, you know, revisit the doorway practice of I am here. So, George, please continue.
I will, and I'll just
well, wait, David also has an observation.
On verse 2, I was wondering what is meant by I am he who takes confession of fears and so guide one to the kingdom of the Lord. Can you help me out on that one, Silverdale?
Dave, very well timed and well-placed questions. It really allows me to make the point I want to make, which is this. According to Gurdjieff's teaching and EJ's amplification of it, we begin with an awareness of ourselves as individuals, planetary individuals, with a quest for transformation. Where EJ takes us to in Human Biological Machine and Life in the Labyrinth is a direct experience of our essential self, which is functioning simultaneously and incessantly together with the planetary body, but because we never developed the ability to cognize our essence, we start off somewhat handicapped. But over time, we can develop the ability to recognize our essential self, which is really nothing more than the emanations of the absolute. So our essence is the emanation of the absolute, which we happen to experience on this side as radiations that cleanse us of everything we've accumulated during our material existence. And so the American Book of the Dead, as well as this guidebook, introduces us to the idea of our essence. What Gurdjieff and EJ go on to say is that in order to develop individual beingness, we have to blend these two diametrically opposite conditions together, and moreover, our essence must serve as the active force in our lives. Our historical personality serves as a passive denying force, and in that way we develop individual and independent and permanent almost immortal beingness. And that beingness, which we've developed through the blending of these other two forces, allows us to say what you just the sentence you just said, Dave: I am he who takes confessions of fears, that is, our being takes confessions of fear from our psyche on the one hand, and so guide one to the kingdom of the Lord, which is our ability to participate in a refined and rarefied state of essence. So that's a long answer, but Dave, that's what I have to offer.
No, I think it's remarkable how pragmatic that particular phraseology is. If we can stand in the mode of confession, then by definition, Silverdale, we are not it, right?
Right.
We are not that of which we are confessing. And particularly when we can possibly confess out loud to the group, it's like a declaration into the universe that says, I am not that. I am a divine spark. And that's how that thing works in this particular envelope. It's a remarkable moment of freedom if you're able to get there.
I love this because David just did my whole presentation for me, which was going to be like confession. So we have the group mind at work. So.
I'll go outside. Sorry. I'm just getting plenty to say on confession.
So
Marvette saying there's an example of telepathy. I cheated and I read her notes.
Oh, and we got a confession. It kind of reminds me of a joke that EJ tells where there's a beautiful young woman who's crossing the street in Brooklyn and suddenly a cab appears out of nowhere and knocks her over, and she's laying there in the street, and a man runs up to her, and it's obviously that she's in critical shape, and he says, can I do anything, to help you? And she says, well, I need to confess. And he looks at her and he says, okay, do you want a priest or a cop? So sometimes our confession requires a priest, and sometimes it requires a cop. But continuing ahead...
There's a difference. Go ahead.
So George, please continue to unfold this text for us.
Okay. So I have just distinguished and differentiated between two parts of ourselves, our psyche and first planetary body on the one hand, and our essence on the other hand, which I stated was nothing more than the emanations of the absolute, which we happen to experience as radiations. Now, when I spoke last time, I quoted from the pamphlet Psyche and Essence, which E.J. published in 1976, in which he describes the essence in his own inimitable way. So what it says is, the package which survives death and rebirth is called the essence. It is composed of 18 primal forms called basic habits, which is why some forms of the teaching call the essence the body of habits. A habit is nothing more than the automatic tendency to do or not to do certain things. So here we have two challenges. One is to discover our essence within ourselves, and the second is to understand these 18 basic habits and make them an integral part of our response to anything and everything. I then went on to quote from the book, The Joy of Sacrifice, this, why should one sacrifice one's habits? Almost everyone understands this in an ordinary way. But there is another more important facet to this. The nature of the corridor of madness is such that one is left with the identity and ability to take action in the present only with habits. One could say that in the deepest self, one is nothing but habits, for only habits survive transition. One cannot depend upon the psyche, which provides the mind, body, memory, decision-making apparatus, ordinary good, bad, and like-dislike attitudes, forms of consciousness, and sense of identity. So, what we've learned about the essence is it's very simple. And this is the import behind our Voyager's quatrain, all phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any sudden moves. My habits will carry me through. And so this declaration of El Mu'umin in Book 6 should, in fact, be our own self-declaration of our own habit, which we have gradually developed over time into a skill, stating, I am the cause of safe passage. Now, I see it's 7:45. There's just one more thing I want to leave with you before I finish here, and that is another quote from the book Essence, Psyche and Essence, regarding skills. Listen very carefully. While the psyche is very complex and depends upon the environment and the body for influences which makes up its actions and reaction patterns, the essence has no such storage capacity. It depends entirely upon its own makeup for its abilities and consciousness. Composed of only 18 basic ideas or habits, it must use these simple elements to form relationship, action, and thought. Simple construction requires simple answers to life. The essence individual does not find life very complicated or insoluble. There are few questions or needs. Such things as needs, desires, aims, achievement, artistic striving, political interests, conversation, social life, and the attitudes about them come completely from the psyche. When this is gone, there is very little to do or to worry about. One lives life in simple appreciation of it as it is. Skill is simply a habit of being able to do something without having to think about it. One should have developed skills before entering the corridor, simply because in the corridor, one will not have a mind with which to think about doing things. One will have to be able to do without being able to think. And so once again, this leads us to the declaration of El Mu'umin, which should be ours as well. We have acquired the skill of recognizing our essential self, developing it into personal being, and then being able to state out loud, I am the cause of safe passage toward the Lord through the terrors and fears of transit. You know, this is the I am statement. I am he who has made the bridge across non-existence, fear, loss, and the destruction of self. So anyway, I think I'll stop right there.
So I really am appreciative, George, of the work that you put in, but also that, you know, reminder to us about the skills being what survive the habits and skills that survive the corridor of madness, because it makes, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we see EJ teaching us, you know, we're doing basketry, or we're doing art, or we're doing archery, or we're doing the French drop, and, you know, those set of skills, we are truly have an opportunity to apprentice. And, you know, he keeps saying, you know, 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. And I'm just very, you know, very grateful that we have such a powerful teaching model to work from. Are there any other questions or comments in the chat, Clear Light?
No. Can you, either of you three, can you read the chat? Because we're having trouble with our...
Yeah, I'd be happy to. There's really not a lot of specifics until we get to Alka Mishra. Each one of us have a different essence. So clear light above the higher self, then there is only universal essence, question mark. I'm not sure I fully understand that, but Pat responds, there is always only the voidness of the void. Yep, that's true. Right. And then Pianjo says, our essential self in capitals is what is shared. It is not the separate existence of our biological organism. Yep, I agree with that. And then Alka Mishra makes one final statement, how to define essence, because our teacher here refers
to what? Say it again.
How to define essence.
Okay.
Because our teacher here refers to essence as the elixir of the self, but essential self is the clear light itself, so there is a difference there between the two terms. And I was actually just writing a response to it. So anyway, that's the catch up on all the comments.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know, that is one question that maybe we can take up next week a little more, George. We talked a little bit about it in verse 13, where it says, and he that can pray in humility shall in the divine body of light merge and separate. So on one level, I think I heard you say tonight that the 18 habits form the essence. Is that correct?
Say that one more time, Tamara.
What was your definition of the essence in relationship?
Yeah. So. So that's right. So my feeling about that is that yes, our essence is in fact the emanation of the absolute. That is what gives us the latent possibility of becoming spiritualized, that because we're created out of those original emanations. It's just that on this side of the emanation, as we look back toward the absolute, we're experiencing those emanations as radiations, because the emanations are colliding with the stuff that we've accumulated through our participation in a material world, egoism, selfishness, all those things. And those radiations, as our essence begins to develop and we experience the radiations of those emanations, what we find is the, and this is again what EJ talks about, the radiating, the cleansing and clarifying of our lower order tendencies.
But I want to, I think I heard her ask a question or a statement that we are different than our essential selves. Is that about right, Pat? Before that. Okay, and before that. Okay, so that's what I wonder, but thank you, Pat. Thank you. Does that have any legs to it? I mean, because in a certain way, I mean, and I think I've understood it this way too, Silverdale, we are part of the divine emanation, and we carry that, and that is the spark that in a sense we wish to return home to. That's what we're looking to...
Well, that's right. And David, to specifically answer your question, Tamara, as our essence develops and matures and our beingness increases, we actually do gradually merge with the divine light. It becomes a defining experience within ourselves. And then, you know, we attach a word like enlightenment to it. No. It's not so much enlightenment, it's just a highly developed essential self who is a good practitioner of this guidebook, because it's able to say what each of these guides say about themselves. We say it for ourselves, and in that way we merge with the divine light because we become it by contagion, you might say.
There's also been a recent talk by EJ about lock and key.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that on Tuesday? So I really encourage you all to review that on the archives, because it goes right into what Silverdale was saying about that. We can fit into a bigger and bigger lock. We are drawing, close to the end of our time together. I'm grateful that David briefly covered that about confession. We'll go into that a little more next week, because for me, the two points that Silverdale brought up about self-observation and self-remembering are necessary to perform the act of confession. And as one practices the act of confession, those skills are also then developed. It becomes the process of mutual initiation. This is a very particular word, confession. I, as I mentioned, I
come from a Christian background and saw it very much in terms of Christian, but as I began researching in it, confession is truly a sacrament that is universal. I found it in all religions and pretty much through most cultures throughout time. And confession can become a daily practice, and so next week we'll look a little bit at a Buddhist practice of confession, although it can be found in many different forms. So I would like you all to join with us as we close with the prayer that is found in the sixth book. And I'm going to ask Muskful Spark if he would read us the prayer, and may our spirits be guided in this way.
And in prayer, your spirit shall be guided thus. 19. Alas, when wandering in the world through the power of pride and egoism, on the radiant path of light, the harmony of light and love, may I be led by the guide through the transit world and into safety. 20. May I be protected by the grace of the Divine Mother, and may I be brought safely through the danger and fear of the transit. And may I be placed in the state of the pure reality of the luminous good.
Amen. And may in the days ahead, may we be led on the path of light and love, and may the grace of the Divine Mother be with us all. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you specifically, this group six. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Good night.